Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Terry Benjamin. Terry Benjamin.
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome back. I hope you are as on fire as I am. I am so on fire.
Wow.
Fired up and ready to go. I mean, how are you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm doing more than great. As a matter of fact, I have so much to share today. I mean, I'm on fire. I can't wait. You know, it's just that life is so good, and God keeps on just, you know, using me in so many different ways, and I feel truly, truly blessed. I really do.
Hey, listen. You know, it's so good to be around positive-minded people who want success, not just for themselves, but for others, and not only just to want it for others, but to actually help them get it. To me, that's like that extra level beyond self-actualization. It's great that you actualize, but who else are you actualizing?
Well, that's the point, because you can't be selfish about it. I mean, you know, I think we were here. I know we were here for a purpose. And I think the thing that we need to do, I mean, our gift from God is our life, but finding our purpose is our gift to Him. And I truly believe that.
Well, yeah, because look at the talents, the parable about the talents. Exactly. One person that was given the talents that hid them. Oh, no, his master required that you return this unto me and double it. And so, yes, needs to be more teaching on that. But here we are this morning to finish up with part two. So I'm going to let you get started. T- take it away, talking about.
Before I go into that, I just want to drop something on you now. Again, this sort of this came and this was dropped in my spirit a couple of mornings ago. I try to do like meditation in the morning. What I mean by that, I might just lie in bed and just empty my mind and try to bring something else in. And really, today we're talking about the second part of a book entitled From Poverty to Power by James Allen. And the beautiful thing about this book, it was written in 1901, but the lessons still resonate for us today in 2013. And, you know, we're doing what we call the Book by Book Success Project. But I want to start another series next week. I'm going to still do the Book by Book Project, but I want to alternate it with something that I call the How To series. How To, H-O-W-2, how to do something. And the first thing that I want to do beginning next week, and I'll talk about more about this probably later if we have time, or just do some things on Facebook. But Lisa, what I want to do is how to. And the first how to program I'm going to do next week, and I really want more participation, not only calling in, but if you don't want to call in, just put something on my Facebook page or put something on Lisa's Facebook page. But this is the deal, okay? I believe in audience participation. And I want the audience to participate because they've been listening. They've been getting these good things, which is great. But next week is the first how-to program. And the name of that program is How to Pray. How to Pray, okay? Because we talk a lot about prayer, and my question is prayer and meditation. As a matter of fact, today on my Facebook page, I posted this, and I just want to read it briefly before I go into the program. It says here, how to pray? Question mark. Is there a special time or circumstance? Do you pray to God, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Buddha? Do you assume a certain position or go to a certain room? Do you pray only when in trouble, or is it part of your daily routine? Do you pray as a family or as an individual? Do you pray silently or loudly? Is prayer and meditation the same thing? And I end by saying, Facebook family, I have a lot of questions, but I know you have the answer. Please help a brother out, because I truly need to understand prayer from my heart to yours. And I've already got one comment, and I won't say who it is, but I'll share it. It says here, this person, my Facebook friend, my family, he says here, pray silently or loudly, whatever and whenever. The one who creates all creatures will listen and answer you, but we need to search for the truth. And again, and so, you know, and so the program next week is entitled How to Pray. And so we really want you to call in, you know, Facebook post or whatever. Let us know. Let us know what it is. I want to know how to pray. Now, please help me on this, you know, because it's so funny because today, you know, we're in the second part of this book, From Poverty to Power, and because the book is so deep, I mean, there's only like five more chapters, but it's just each chapter is so full of information and so full of possibilities that I can't really do it justice. So I just really chose a couple of ending chapters, and I want to talk about in this particular book the power of meditation, and I want to talk about another important topic is called Two Masters, Self and Truth. And the last thing that I want to talk about, if time permits, his last chapter of the book is talking about the realization of perfect peace. Okay? So again, so next week, how to pray. This week, this time, the second part of the book, From Poverty to Power. And this first chapter that I want to discuss is entitled The Power of Meditation. And I just want to read two things from this and just sort of move on. And this is from James Allen. And this was written, published anyway, in 1901. And he talks about the power of meditation. And he says here on page 133, I quote, "Meditation is the intense dwelling in thought upon an idea or theme, with the object of thoroughly comprehending it. And whatsoever you constantly meditate upon, you not only will come to understand, but will grow more and more into its likeness. For it will become incorporated into your very being, will become in fact your very self. If therefore you constantly dwell upon that which is selfish and debasing, you will ultimately become selfish and debased. If you simply think upon that which is pure and unselfish, you will surely become pure and unselfish. So what he is saying here is what we meditate on is what we become. You know, in the Bible says, you know, what you constantly think upon will come to pass. So we want to say some really good thoughts here. And the second point in this meditation chapter, and I quote here, he says, and this is from page 135, he says here, meditation centered upon divine realities is the very essence and soul of prayer. It is the silent reaching of the soul toward the eternal. Merely petitionary prayer without meditation is a body without a soul and is powerless to lift the mind and heart above sin and affliction. And so again, a prayer lifts us to a higher level. And that's why I think that, you know, we need to know how to do this thing because it's just so important. And James Allen goes on and says that select some portion of the day in which to meditate and keep that period sacred to your purpose. The best time is the very early morning when the spirit of repose is upon everything. You know, I know for me, meditation is definitely best in the morning, but you know what? You know, whenever you can do it. And it says here on page 139 that spiritual meditation and self-discipline are inseparable. You will therefore commence to meditate upon yourself so as to try to understand yourself. Remember, the great object you will have in view will be the complete removal of all your errors in order that you may realize truth. And so again, it's important. And he says here on page 141, as by the power of meditation, you grow in wisdom. You will relinquish more and more your selfish desires, which are fickle and permanent and productive of sorrow and pain, will take your stand, will increasingly steadfast and trust upon unchangeable principles and realize heavenly rest, okay? Heavenly rest, heavenly peace. And again, and what to meditate on, he says here, well, there are five things you can meditate on. You can meditate on love. You can meditate on pity. You can meditate on joy. You can meditate on impurity. And you can meditate on serenity. Okay, so again, five things you can meditate on. Love, pity, joy, impurity, and serenity. It says here, by engaging in these meditations, the disciples of the Buddha arrive at knowledge of the truth. But whether you engage in these particular meditations or not matters little so long as your object is true. So as long as you hunger thirst for that righteousness, which is a holy heart and a blameless life. In your meditation, therefore, let your heart grow and expand with ever-burning love, till free from all hatred and passion and condemnation, and embrace the whole universe with thoughtful tenderness. And I think, you know, just in terms of time, I just want to look at another chapter, and then we'll have our discussion. And this chapter is entitled Two Masters, Self or Truth. And I guess it comes down to who do you serve? Do you serve yourself, which is selfishness and greed, or do you serve others? It says here, and this is from page 145, upon the battlefield of the human soul, two masters are ever contending for the crown of supremacy, for the kingship and dominion of the heart, the master of self, called the prince of this world, and the master of truth, called also the Father God. The master self is that rebellious one whose weapons are passion, pride, avarice, vanity, self-will, influence of darkness. The master of truth is that meek and lowly one whose weapons are gentleness, patience, purity, sacrifice, humility, love, and instruments of life. And so again, you know, we have a choice because we have free will. But the thing is, we want to do the thing that's going to give us the most benefit. And he says here on page 151, he says here, let self die. All those lusts, appetites, desires, opinions, limited conceptions, and prejudices to which you have hitherto so tenaciously clung, let them fall from you. Let them no longer hold you in bondage, and truth will be yours. And so again, we really strive for truth. And the thing is, to be meek and understand that we don't know it all. As a matter of fact, sometimes we know very, very little. And it says here on page 156, cultivate your heart. Water it continually with unselfish love and deep self-pity. And strive to shut out from it all thoughts and feelings that are not in accordance with love. because again, all, what we're doing is we're trying to move toward that whole idea of selfless love. And it says here on page 165, hidden deep in every human heart, who frequently covered up with a mass of hard and almost impenetrable accretions, is the spirit of divine love, whose holy and spotless essence is undying and eternal. And he says, go on, it says here, on page 165, to reach this love, to understand and experience it, you must work with great persistency and diligence upon your heart and mind, must never renew your patience and keep, must ever renew your patience and keep strong your faith, for there will be much to remove, much to accomplish, for the divine image is revealed in its glorious beauty. So we're moving toward that perfect peace, that peace that is within us forever. It's so funny, a lot of times when people go to church, they have that church experience just on Sunday. But if we do this thing right, we're going to have that church experience every day. And James Allen goes on and say here, the spirit of love that is manifested as a perfect and rounded life is a crown of being, and the supreme end of knowing upon this earth. Truth is far removed from those whose life is not governed by love. So if you want truth, you have to love. The more you love, the more you love, the more you have truth. And the last thing I want to quote here is from page 200. And it says here, only the work that is impersonal can live. The works of self are both powerless and perishable. Where duties, however humble, are done without self-interest and with joyful sacrifice, there's true service and enduring work. Where deeds, however brilliant and apparently successful, are done with the love of self, there's ignorance, and the love, the law of service and work perishes. So again, you know, we want to be true to ourselves. And the last word from this book here on page 209, from the last chapter, in the chapter entitled The Realization of Perfect Peace, he says here, with all this realization, you enter into rest, for this is the bliss of immortality. This is unchangeable gladness. This is untrampled knowledge, undefiled wisdom, and undying love. This and only this, only is the realization of perfect peace. So with that said, I just want to open it up, you know, for you, for anybody who wants to comment. I mean, again, this book is powerful. Again, everybody knows James Allen for As a Man Thinketh, but this book, From Poverty to Power, is even deeper. And I think it takes more, you know, more study and more meditation, because these chapters, because I was sharing it with the audience, I had to read them many times. But again, I'm going to read it some more, because again, there's so many gems of truth. But he says here, in essence, you know, stop being selfish and be of service, not to yourself, but to the truth. And again, I think the Bible says the same thing. You know, Jesus says, you know, if you want to follow me, you have to disown yourself. And again, and to disown ourselves is not to be so preoccupied with what we want, not to think about what others need and want, you know. And again, I know for myself, as I continue my journey, I become a lot less selfish. I mean, because I know that it's not about me. And now that I have grandchildren, you know, I have two granddaughters, and as a matter of fact, my son's wife is pregnant with twins. And so we eagerly await the entrance of two more grandchildren. And again, I mean, my whole thought is to how to serve them, how to give them the best life possible, to give them the tools that they can live a better life than any of us has ever lived. So again, you know, it's about future generations, I believe. You know, I believe it's about, you know, us doing things to help people in their daily lives until they reach the end, which really is not the end, but it's really the beginning.
Absolutely. So could you just, you know, if you had to, you know, sum up, let's just say, boil it down to maybe leave us with maybe three keys or three, you know, main things that we could do to get out of poverty or from poverty to power? Lennon, thank you so much for bringing that book to our attention. So many things to certainly discuss in there, but I'm just wondering if you could give us maybe like the top three. I know he shares many things in there, but...
Well, I would love to. I think number one is the whole thing about meditation. He said meditation is the intense dwelling. We have to meditate. We have to find some time in our day to really get closer to not our thoughts, but the thoughts of the spiritual, of the divine, you know? You know, I think it's something that we really have to make time for. I know we're all busy, but we really have to take time to just to be quiet. So number one is that we have to really realize the power of meditation. And number two, we have to meditate on things that are worthwhile. Like he gives us, he says here, he talks about five great meditations, and he lists love. He talks about pity. He talks about joy. He talks about impurity, and he talks about serenity. And he says here, the fifth meditation is the meditation on serenity, in which you rise above love and hate, charity and oppression, wealth and want, and regard your own faith with impartial calmness and perfect tranquility. So number one, we must realize the power of meditation. Number two, we must meditate on worthwhile things. And number three is that we have to make a decision, okay? The Bible says that, you know, a man cannot serve two masters, okay? Because in case he will hate one, he will love one and despise the other. You know, I find for myself, when I get in trouble, I'm in conflict with the good that I do and the bad that I want to do. When you have that conflict, it's like it's a pushing and a pulling. And so I think the third point is that two masters, self or truth, which one will you serve? And I like what he says here. He says here, as a matter of fact, he's quoting Jesus. He says, Jesus declared, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Truth is so simple, so absolutely undeviating and uncompromising, that in the midst of no complexity, no turning, and no qualification, self is ingenious, crooked, and governed by subtle and snaky desire. In the midst of endless turnings and qualifications, and the deluded worships of self vainly imagine that they can gratify every world's desire at the same time present the truth. But the lovers of truth worship truth with the sacrifice of self and ceaselessly guard themselves against worldliness and self-seeking. That's why it says to be in the world but not of the world. You know, because again, we get so sucked into to worldly pursuits, and they would tell you that the good thing, the bad thing, is the right thing. And this whole thing, this 50 Shades phenomenon, I'm sure many have read this, but you know, and I've looked at it too. But the thing is that it's about this man who is trying to get this woman to submit to his desire, which is to inflict pain upon her, you know, and this is where he gets his sexual gratification. Now, if we follow the world, I mean, we would, like, think that this is the right thing, and so we understand that, you know, we have to understand that there's a high level of living, there's a high level of thought, and we really need to get to that level, and that's why the book-by-book success project is so important. And understand, I read all these books, I meditate on these books, and I try to bring myself to a high level so I can be in the area of truth. But you know what? It's not easy. I mean, every day it's a struggle because we're drawn, we're pulled in so many different directions. But there is an eternal truth, and that truth is not found among men. You know, that truth is on a high level. As a matter of fact, when you think about shopping, and, you know, let's say this truth is on a higher shelf, and you might even need a footstool to get to that, you know. But you gotta reach. It has to be reaching, and it has to be effort. I think that's what it is, and it has to be self-sacrifice, you know. Not my will, but your will. And I think that's really the essence of this particular book here.
Yeah, that's good. And that's good. Well, one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking was how what you were speaking about and what, you know, you were picking up from this book here is that when you were talking about, you know, the meditating and the instruction for how we should govern our lives if we want to be, you know, living out this purpose, this utilizing these gifts that God has given us.
Yes, yes.
has given us. And, you know, I had put on the back of one of my books a statement that where I was had found so many people I had spoken to who actually had grandchildren even, would make the statement, the children don't come with instructions. many formats of life say how this is just so, raising a child is just so mysterious and being a human being is so hard to discover because there's no instructions. But yet, so on the back of this book I state, but that cannot be further from the truth because the Bible is our set of instructions. And so even what you're citing here, much from this book is all from the Bible. So here, James Allen teaching human beings how to behave, conduct themselves, what have you. So that's the part that I could never get why people would say there were no instructions. But here's what I found out. Many of those people had not read the Bible and certainly did not read it. Well, I don't know what they were reading because if you read it, you would know there. I can't even say, they read it as if it was a novel. Well, no. Either way, it's a set of instructions. Whether you read it as a novel, whether you were forced to read it as a child, it doesn't matter. Yes. Word by word tells you, do this, do that, do this, do that, expect this, expect that, get this result, get that result.
Wow.
I just, how people are missing that, I just don't get it. And certainly James didn't miss it because that's why he was able to, much of it is from the Bible. And John C. Maxwell and less and any of them.
Well, at least you really hit on the head because, I mean, John Maxwell is a pastor. James Allen, he studied many religions to write this book, you know. I remember I heard a pastor one time, as a matter of fact, the pastor church I go to, he says that the Bible is basic instruction before leaving Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. Everything that we need to know is in that book.
Right.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. So, Terry?
And I think what happens is people get lazy and they think, well, you know what? Let me go to the church and let the pastor tell me. But you know what? I think we give ourselves, it's a disservice to ourselves to let the pastor do all the heavy lifting. You know, we can read the Bible too, and we can all be in tune. And that's when you get that holy space, you know?
Well, Professor Terry, so let me ask you this, Professor. Now I want you to put on your professor hat.
All right.
Professor and your father hat. So why do people say children come with no instructions? Just tell me that.
I think they say because with most things, we want to make it hard when it's really easy. We want to go to, you know, scholars. But, you know, you can go to your grandmother. You can go to people in your family and get this information. And it's really simple because it's all there. You just have to be humble. That's all.
Okay. Great answer. Didn't quite answer my question, but great answer. But my question is, the people I'm talking about are people who go to church.
Okay.
Who know the Bible. I'm not talking about people who just go and don't know. These are people those are people I know, they know the scriptures.
Okay.
Now maybe some of them are saying it because it's a common phrase in our society.
Yes.
And they're just going by memory. That's what they heard grandma say. That's what they heard great grandma say, whatever.
Yeah.
But to keep saying something that is not true, now I want you to put back on your motivational speaker hat, and tell me why keep saying something that you know is not the truth.
Well, I think we keep on doing that because it's easy. It's easier to repeat, you know, even if it's a falsehood, because we keep on repeating it and we think it's like a cliche. There is some truth in the cliche. But not all the truth is in there, and I think it's easier. I think it's just laziness. I think it's easier for us to mouth these platitudes rather than do some research. So that's what I see.
because when I hear intelligent people who I know the scriptures, and plus they're intelligent academically, when they say that, I'm looking at you real strange. Now, I'm about a person that never read the Bible, was a heathen, lived out in the woods, you know, lack education. I'm talking about intelligent, educated people with degrees who've had managerial positions, who've raised scriptures, who actually, some of them are preachers. I know they know at least one or two scriptures. And most believers, one of the easiest books to read probably would be the book of Proverbs. And that's where many, many instructions are. I mean, Proverbs start out with, son, follow these instructions.
Yes.
But anyway, I just thought I would ask the professor.
Well, you know, because sometimes people don't like what's simple. They want to make it complicated, you know, because that seems to be, you know, like for some reason they think it's more valuable to complicate, you know.
Wait a minute. There's over in the New Testament.
Yeah.
There's a scripture in the Gospels. I believe it's Jesus talking, but don't quote me on that.
But it
says, this word is so simple that men will stumble over it.
Yeah.
So it tells you right there how simple it is.
it does, you know. And it's so funny because sometimes when we do get our degrees and we might have more than one degree and we think that we have a measure of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. But, you know, again, I mean, like I said, the Bible says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, So
I just thought I would ask the professor since I had you here. And now that so you're a sociologist, psychologist too. So how harmful or how damaging is it to say one thing but know something different? I don't know, what's that, cognitive dissonance or something?
Because I think a lot of times we tend to want to say what's popular, because sometimes when we say what's not popular, we feel that we are going to get enemies. But you know what? I mean, you can't please everybody. I mean, Bill Cosby said it best when he says, you know, I don't know the secret to success, but I know the secret to failure is trying to please everybody. You can't please everybody.
Well, on that note, I think that's it, because guess what?
The
show, we're already a little bit over, Okay, so, well, you heard it right here. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you who are on the phone lines, we thank you. Those of you who will go back, listen to the archives. Professor Terry, you did a great job. Thank you so much. Can't wait for next week. Also looking forward to the first how-to. So we'll please, as soon as you can, post it on my site, and we'll just start posting all week. When I'm in Virginia Beach over the weekend, I'll let everyone know to tune in to the broadcast. Try to pick up some new listeners down in the Virginia Beach area. Again, everyone, have a powerful day, and definitely let's meditate, let's get connected, and do big things. Hopefully. All right, everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
For tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.